Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is Monday, December 18th, 2023. Welcome back into another work week and back to school. Beautiful day here, high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square, a bit breezy, but the sun is out, at least here in Madison. Temperature is a little chilly, but all things considered, Mr. Zommers, we're looking by Christmas, perhaps hitting 50 degrees in some parts of the state. So not looking like a white Christmas for most of Wisconsin. Oh, well, that's the way it goes. It could be worse.
And I suppose not everybody is feeling very sad trombone about that. I'm sure some people would love not to have snow, but I feel like there's something special about a white Christmas in Wisconsin.
There is. But you don't have to be thankful for what we have. A lot of people traveling over the holiday are very thankful that no snow and ice and whatnot. So all in all, not a bad day at all. Mr. Zommers, how are you doing? We missed you. We had our Civic Media holiday party over the weekend. Many thanks to Sage Weil, our owner and founder and CEO, for putting on just a great spread. Phil Nee from WRCE, WRCO, and our own Jorge Reyes, the two DJs for the event, did a great job of keeping people out on the dance floor. It was fantastic. And I got to have my photo with Earl Ingram, with Matt Flynn, to put up at my Matt Flynn Direct Fan Club. You know, it was fantastic.
You got to lead your meeting. Like Todd Albaugh, right? President, Secretary, Treasurer, present.
Yes. Hung out with Will Walter a little bit. It was great to see him.
That he was there.
Yeah. Luke Mathers in a fine mood, wearing a red sequin Santa hat, Lukester was.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. So that was fantastic.
Yeah. I really wanted to go, but I had another Christmas party the night before. And before you say, oh, you were hungover and couldn't go. No, that is not the case.
No, I know.
I was sleeping on a couch. My left shoulder kind of just like pops out sometimes if I move my arm the right way. And it appears that I fell asleep like that. So for about 4 or 5 hours on Saturday, I was laying on the couch, alternating between ice and heat on my shoulder to try and get it to stop hurting. And I was like, yeah, I'm not going to drive today. Yeah, there's no
way. I get that. Well, we missed you. We missed you. And I have a, I know the end of the producer is engaged in a Secret Santa this holiday season. And all I can tell you is a large elf, or at least someone dressed as Buddy the Elf, gave me a gift from your Secret Santa. I'm not allowed to know who it is, but I was supposed to bring it in today, and it's sitting in my living room. So I have to bring it tomorrow for you.
Well, I can tell you who I got a gift for, because I already gave it to him and said it was me. That's Luke Mathers.
Oh,
so I gave it to him. He hasn't opened it yet, but right. I walked in. I was like, it is I, your Secret Santa. And he's like, you're not supposed to tell me.
That's the whole point of it, right?
Well, I've done Secret Santa in my family, it's a secret until you present it. But then again, it was also in the family. So it's kind of hard to hide when you're handing it to them who it's from.
Well, it was a good time had by all on Saturday. And again, we appreciate Sage Weil and also Aaron Coretto, who helped coordinate and put the whole thing together. Aaron did a great job as well. So we thank all of those who participated. And it was a great time to kind of reflect on where we've been in the past year and where we are going in 2024 as an organization, Civic Media, which ties into our guest coming up at the bottom of this hour. She is State Senator Kelda Royce. She represents the 26th District in the State Senate, large parts of Dane County, including, I would say, the majority of the city of Madison, kind of from the isthmus, including the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and then out kind of into the Middleton area here in Dane County. Senator Royce is a member of the Joint Finance Committee, and she is going to be here at the bottom of the hour at 12:30 to talk about women's reproductive rights, women's reproductive freedoms. Give us kind of a year in review, because, of course, you know, the overturning of Roe v. Wade, the big part of this, but there were other things that perhaps we've forgotten along the way that's going to impact women's health care and women's reproductive rights moving into 2024. We'll ask her policy-wise what to look for, and then maybe get her take a little bit on politically what ramifications this could have moving into the 2024. So looking forward to having Senator Kelder Royce here at the bottom of the hour. Right now, I want to start off with what made headlines over the weekend, in case you did not hear. Our old friend, I say that a bit with tongue in cheek, Andrew Hitt, former chairman of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. And here's what we share, Andrew Hitt and I. We are both from Richland Center in southwest Wisconsin. I actually had Andrew's dad, Art, great guy, for an algebra teacher. We'd come in and we'd say, Mr. Hitt, are we going to have a quiz today? He'd say, always possible. He'd never tell. And sometimes he would, and sometimes he wouldn't. Anyway, his mom babysat me at one point in my life as a kid, and we both went to the same church for a while. So I don't want to say, Andrew Hitt and I are not friends. I mean, I guess acquaintances, but like we never hung out and had dinner or anything like that.
Does he go by Andy or Andrew?
Oh, Andrew. He's definitely an Andrew. Yeah.
Some people are either or. Some people are only one or the other. No,
100% Andrew. Anyway, he served as one of the attorneys for former Governor Scott Walker and then went on to be the chairman of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. Now, I can tell you, Andrew Hitt, he's an attorney, works for, I believe, Deloitte, one of the big law firms here in the Madison area, Republican-leading firm. So the guy is not intellectually stupid, you understand. Well, he got himself wrapped up in this fake electors hubbub, more than a hubbub. And he was part of these 11, 12 folks that signed their name to fake ballots, fake elector ballots for the January 6th event. And Ron Johnson ends up taking some of these with him or had them in his pocket. They were delivered to him and tried to overturn the election. Well, of course, that didn't sit well with people like Jack Smith, federal prosecutor. And so all these fake electors got looked at. And it turns out that under oath, they admitted that Donald Trump won the election. Or pardon me, Donald Trump lost the election.
Joe Biden. I was about to say, Todd.
I need more coffee. I'm sorry. I'm still recovering from the weekend. That Donald Trump lost the election and Joe Biden won the election. They admitted that under oath. And they have further said that they will not participate as electors in any election involving Trump. And Andrew Hitt went a step further. This is from WISN up front this weekend in coordination with WisPolitics. Here is former Republican Chairman Andrew Hitt.
Are you still a Republican?
I am.
Is there a scenario where you will vote for Trump in 2024?
There is not. I will not vote for him.
Under no circumstance?
Under no circumstance.
Would you vote for a Democrat?
I would not.
When you look ahead, the convention is going to be here in Milwaukee. You are a former chair of the state Republican Party. Will you attend?
You know, that depends on what happens in the process here.
In terms of if Trump is the nominee?
Correct.
If Trump is the nominee, will you attend?
I will not.
You will not attend. Why?
You know, I don't agree. I've already said I'm not supporting him. I support Republicans. I'll be there for Republicans. I worked as a volunteer position, you know, very hard on behalf of the president. What happened to us, what happened to the electors is outrageous, unfair, and I don't want to be any part of it ever again.
So there's Andrew Hitt, former chairman of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, basically playing I'm a victim. Oh, I was misled. I was tricked. I don't believe any of that for a second. Again, I know Andrew Hitt tangentially. He's not a stupid intellectual person. He's a smart attorney. He understands the law keenly. And basically, and remember, this was a civil lawsuit. Attorney General Josh Call of Wisconsin could bring criminal charges. So what this is to me is a well-trained, smart attorney who's spoken with other attorneys, and he has laid out a position where he can be truthful under oath and admit that Trump lost, admit that he was involved, but not admit or at least say that he was aware of what he was doing. That's a very nuanced position to skirt the law, basically, and keep himself out of jail. But the important thing here in my mind is that when pressed under oath with a penalty of jail looming ahead, if you're not truthful, he has admitted that Trump lost. He has admitted that January 6th was terrible and that he's ashamed that he was a part of it. And that he has said he will not support Trump, nor attend the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee if Trump is the nominee. And he says he's going to cooperate further with any legal action against Trump or others. He also said in this interview that attorney Kenneth Chesbrough, former Trump attorney, was in the room when all this stuff happened with the fake elector. Oh, and of course he claimed, well, we couldn't kick him out. We didn't know what to do. Again, horse hockey. Believe me, I've been around a lot of these people when they have meetings like this. They determine who's in the room and who isn't. But the important thing here is that Andrew Hitt has said that Trump lost the election and that he will not support Trump moving further forward and that he will not be at the Republican National Committee. Now, who does that sound like? Mr. Zomers, here's a clip from former Speaker of the House Republican Paul Ryan.
How do you think, because you're a student of history, how do you think we're going to look back on, or how will history regard people like Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger and people of that their ilk? Maybe it's just the two of them.
Yeah, I think they're friends of mine. I think they called out, look, Trump's not a conservative. He's an authoritarian narcissist. So I think they basically called him out for that. He's a populist authoritarian narcissist. So historically speaking, all of his tendencies are, you know, basically where narcissism takes him, which is whatever makes him popular, or makes him feel good at any given moment. And he doesn't think in classical liberal conservative terms. He thinks in an authoritarian way. And he's been able to get a big chunk of the Republican base to follow him because, you know, he's the culture warrior. And so I think Adam and Liz stepped out of the flow and called it out and, you know, paid for it with their careers. But I think, again, back to my earlier point, I don't think you can be really very good at these jobs unless you're willing to lose these jobs. And there has to be some line, some principle that is so important to you that you're just not going to cross, so that when you're brushing your teeth in the morning, you look at yourself in the mirror, you like what you see.
Former Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, and Mr. Zomers, just a side note here on the show. We're not going to do that story I was going to do right before the break, just FYI. But that is Paul Ryan saying many of the same things that Andrew Hitt, former chairman of the Republican Party, is. They're not going to support Trump. They're not going to vote for Trump. They admitted that Trump lost the election, Joe Biden won the election, and they will not be at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee if Trump is the nominee. Republicans have to make a choice in Wisconsin. Are you with Paul Ryan and Andrew Hitt, or are you with Derek Van Orden and Donald Trump? Back after this in the Todd Umwalt Show. Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Umwalt Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 20 now past the hour of 12 noon. Glad to have you along, whether you're eating your lunch at a desk or maybe going through a line for Culver's. I could use some Culver's right now. Maybe taking a walk, also healthy over your lunch. We're glad you're along with us. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, State Senator Kelda Royce will join us and looking at women's reproductive rights, women's reproductive freedom, and a year in review, and also looking forward to 2024, looking ahead to having Senator Royce up next on this program. Right now, talking about the comments over the weekend of former Republican Party Chair of Wisconsin, Andrew Hitt, speaking for the first time on WISN's Upfront and also co-produced by WISP Politics, saying that he would try to claim the victim that he was, you know, duped on this, but at least under oath that now he is admitting that Trump lost the election and saying he will not support Trump again, nor will he attend the Republican Party convention, national convention in Milwaukee if Trump is the nominee. Echoing the sentiments of Republican and former Speaker of the House Paul Ryan, calling Trump an authoritarian narcissist. The truth is finally coming out. And regardless of my feelings or anyone else's feelings about what either Hitt or Ryan have done in the past or policies they may or may not support, at least we're finding out the truth, or some of us, many of us knew the truth, right? But at least some of these people are finally telling the truth on the record. And I think that's valuable because I think there are non-MAGA Republicans out there, your standard old Republican, not age-wise, but just, they've been a Republican for a long time. They vote that way because they always have. And they might vote that way because the local sheriff is a Republican. But they're, you know, they're not a Trump person, but they've run on the ticket. Or maybe their register of deeds is Republican. But she or he does not involve themselves in partisan politics. They just run on the Republican ticket. I think that people voting for those types of Republicans, I think what Paul Ryan or Andrew Hitz says matters to those types. If you have a Trump 2024 flag on the back of your truck, then no, that's not going to matter. You've already written Paul Ryan and Andrew Hitz off. But what Paul Ryan and Andrew Hitz are saying, that Trump lost the election, they will no longer support him. And in Paul Ryan's words, Trump is an authoritarian narcissist. I think that matters to a lot of people. Off the text line, WRCE, texting in. You can text us on the Civic Media app on your Apple or Android device. From WRCE in Richland Center, 107.7 on the FM side, 1450 on the AM side. Quote, a man with Andrew's education, connection, and supposedly understanding of elections is trying to tell us he was punked, unquote. I mean, in so many words, yes. And like I say, I don't believe that. I think he knew exactly what he was doing. And if you look at some of the texts that were unearthed under deposition in the bipartisan January 6th committee, Andrew Hitz was talking to other people, Mark Jefferson, the executive director, who I also know from the Republican Party. They knew what they were doing was wrong, certainly dicey at best, and yet they went along with it. So no, I don't buy the fact that he was quote unquote duped. Let's go to the phone lines, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Let's go to Jack in Merrimack. Jack, thanks for holding. What say you?
Well, first of all, it's pretty disingenuous, as you pointed out, to say, yeah, I was duped. No, you know, I don't think so, because the Wisconsin Supreme Court had essentially said this election was legal and honest before these guys ever signed that paper. They had to know this was not a contingency thing. That's just a bunch of bunk and baloney, in my opinion.
I
secondly,
agree.
Though, it's all well and good that a few so-called leading Republicans, but now remember, these are guys that, I mean, you know, Hitz is apparently a former Wisconsin Republican Party chair, and Ryan is, you know, is out of office. You know, a lot of these guys that and women that are criticizing Trump, calling him exactly what he is, they're out of the Republican Party. And the question that I have is this: we've got guys in office who knew exactly what was happening, like Fitzgerald, for example, like Ron Johnson, for example. We've got other people in office, like Tom Tiffany, for example, Van Orden, who clearly was shown on video as being in restricted areas during the January 6th insurrection attempt. How can you possibly trust any of these Republicans that are going to show up at this convention, regardless of whom they nominate for president, for to run for president? How can you trust any of these guys that are unwilling to, you know, first of all, it would seem to me, if they're going to be ethical at all, they need to say, what we did is wrong, we're going to resign from our position. Well, that's clearly right. That's what they did. It was wrong, and they should be doing that.
You bring up a great point, Jack. You bring up a great point, and I think that you're absolutely right. I don't know that voters, you know, should trust people like Scott Fitzgerald and Ron Johnson. But again, I think the more that we can expose the truth through things that I may know or discover and pass on to our listeners, and also that we give a voice to, again, I'm not abdicating Paul Ryan or Andrew Hipp for things they may have done in the past or things they still believe. But Paul Ryan and Andrew Hipp are still, they still say they are Republicans. They're still part of the Republican Party. They may not be in elected office right now, but they still identify as Republicans. I think that their opinions still matter with a segment. I'm not saying it's a huge segment, but I think there is a segment of the Republican Party out there who still listens to them. But yes, I think that people like Fitzgerald and Johnson should be held accountable. And I'm still hopeful that Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call will do so. 844-967-2789. Let's go quickly to Madison. Jeff in Madison, make it quick if you can, please, sir. But what say you?
Every one of those fake electors belongs in prison. And Andrew Hitt, or whatever his name is, and Mr. Hitt, he didn't admit it until he was forced to. And if you listen to the end of that, he's trying, like you said, he's trying to make himself the victim, but he knew exactly what he was doing. And he should, again, they should all be prosecuted and put into prison.
Appreciate the call.
He wasn't sorry that he did it. He wasn't sorry he did it. He was sorry he got caught.
Jeff, great point. Jeff and Madison, thank you so very much. I hear that. Also, quickly from Ross in Crawford County off the text line. But Todd, all these old moderates or maybe even current moderates are going to vote for Trump. Some of them might not, but most of them will, unquote. Ross, I get it, but I think there are some that are still open-minded enough to look at the truth. Back with Senator Royce after this on the Todd Almost Show and Civic Media. Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Almost Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 34 minutes past the hour of 12 noon. We appreciate you taking us with you across the state of Wisconsin, whether that is up in beautiful Amory or Hayward, Wausau, Green Bay, Eau Claire, La Crosse, Richland Center, over in Waukesha, or maybe right here in the great capital city of Madison, Wisconsin, our world headquarters. And we welcome in this half hour, our special guest. She's returning to the program. We appreciate her time. She is State Senator Kelda Royce from the 26th District, representing the majority of the city of Madison and parts of Dane County. Senator Royce, thank you so much for being with us, and happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays. So glad to be with you again, Todd.
Well, the pleasure is ours. And for those, I know you've been on the show before, we appreciate it, but perhaps for those in the out parts of the state who are not as familiar with Dane County, explain to folks kind of how you got into politics and how long you've been in it, and then the area of Wisconsin that you represent, if you'd be so kind.
Sure. I represent the Madison area, including the state capitol and the University of Wisconsin-Madison campus, and most of the city of Madison. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've been in politics forever. I came back to Wisconsin where I had grown up to go to law school, ended up working in the abortion rights movement for 4 years as the executive director of NARAL Pro-Choice Wisconsin, and then ran for state assembly where I served several terms, and I represented Northwestern Dane County. So I had some rural and suburban areas as well. Then I ran for Congress and lost, and was out of politics for a while, and started a small business, a high-tech real estate brokerage called Open Homes. And fast forward to 2020, here I am in the state Senate working to build a Democratic majority so that we can have responsive government in Wisconsin again.
And it's important to point out that Senator Royce is joining us from outside the Capitol building. So that kind of frees us up to talk about things other than just government. We can throw some politics in there as well, and I appreciate that. Senator Royce, one of the things that I really appreciate about you is your diverse and unique background. I mean, the fact that you've been in organizing, you've also been a small business person, and the fact that you're a graduate of the UW Law School, you're an attorney, so you understand how the law works and the implications thereof. So all those things together, I just think it brings together a great person to represent folks in the state Senate. If you want to just tell us a little bit about, we look at women's rights, women's reproductive rights, women's reproductive freedoms. To say it's been quite a year would probably be the worst understatement of the year. but a lot of things for those of us who support women's reproductive rights, it's been disturbing to say the least. But there have also been a couple of things that I think perhaps give us a little hope moving forward. Let's start off, because again, I know you've really spent nearly a lifetime in this issue. It's something you care deeply about. Mm-hmm. But for the big one obviously is the overturning of Roe v. Wade at the Supreme Court level. But there have also been things in Wisconsin that have happened as well, directly related to Roe v. Wade and women's reproductive rights. Give us a little synopsis, if you'd be so kind. Help us to kind of look back in 2023, a year in review on women's reproductive rights.
Sure. Well, we started the year with virtually no abortion access in Wisconsin. And that is because after Dobbs, the 1849 law was that purports to ban abortion, all abortion, was under litigation, and doctors simply did not feel safe or comfortable to provide abortion. And so people had to leave the state or order medication abortion online from a website like aidaccess.org or one of the others. And so what we now know from research is that thousands of women have been forced into parenthood that would otherwise have accessed abortion in Wisconsin. Now, in April, we had a huge victory in electing Justice Janet Protasiewicz to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And she ran, I think, on a very clear message that she would restore balance and fairness to the court, and that she wasn't going to prejudge issues and be a rubber stamp for corporate special interests. And she also talked about her personal pro-choice values, while not saying anything about any particular case. We also had a great opinion from a Dane County judge in the circuit court. Attorney General Call filed a lawsuit against that 1849 law, and the judgment came down in our favor, and that allowed Planned Parenthood and other abortion providers to resume providing limited services in Wisconsin, albeit heavily restricted. So even under Roe v. Wade, abortion was very difficult for many Wisconsinites to access. Anybody who was following the Kate Cox saga in Texas, that could absolutely happen here in Wisconsin. So we are nowhere near where we need to be in terms of people's reproductive freedom and ability to access healthcare, but we're certainly better than where we were in 2022.
Just you mentioned this case in Texas, just tragic. For those who aren't aware, the quick synopsis is basically this woman is married. She and her husband became pregnant. They have other children. And the doctor essentially said, look, this child not only would not live long if it brought to birth, brought to term, but it could also endanger the mother's life and any ability to have children moving forward if she and her husband so choose. And she, of course, Texas basically has banned abortion. She went to court. The judge found that this did meet the criteria of saving the mother's life. But the attorney general, Paxton, down there in Texas said, even in this case, if you move forward, we're going to hold any physician that performs this abortion liable and criminally liable. And this poor woman has had to basically go out of Texas now to save perhaps her life and her to hold on to her ability to have children moving forward. To me, Senator Royce, it is the quintessential example of government interfering in a woman and her body.
Absolutely. I mean, I think if there's anything we've learned post-Dobbs, it is that Americans are very clear. We do not want politicians anywhere near our reproductive choices. We don't want them in our bedrooms. We don't want them in our doctor's offices. And every time abortion rights have been on the ballot, whether it's a conservative state or a liberal state, abortion rights wins. Mm-hmm. That's been true here in Wisconsin as well.
Let's talk for a minute, if we could, please. I love your perspective on this. As someone who grew up in rural Wisconsin, we have a lot of people all across the state of Wisconsin who listen. Look, I was a Republican for almost 30 years. I left the party in 2011. You know, for many years, I ran for, you know, assembly twice in 04 and 08, lost both times in the primary. But, you know, I ran as a pro-life candidate. I held the belief of exception of rape, incest, and endangerment of a mother's life. But, you know, sometime after I ran the second time in 08, I have two nieces. One is now out of high school. One is still in high school. And, you know, I think that had a huge, I think it had a huge impact on my life. And you know, now as an openly gay person, you know, I'm like, I don't want government interfering in my life and my happiness. And neither do I think the government should interfere in women's lives and in their bodies. And so talk to us a minute, Senator, and explain from a woman's perspective, because I'm, you know, I'm a dude. What do I know about this? But from a woman, you know, I don't think I've never met or heard of a woman who's like happy or joyful or like, oh yeah, I'm just going to go get an abortion and nonchalant about it. And I think there's this narrative out there that somehow that exists. And I think, you know, talk to us a minute about from a woman's perspective, how difficult this decision is for any woman.
Yeah, I mean, I think these are, first of all, pregnancy is dangerous, and it's more dangerous in the United States than virtually any other developed nation. It is unpredictable. And because of that, it simply cannot be legislated. We cannot have a situation where doctors are afraid to do the right thing by their patients because some politician is going to try to throw them in jail. We just cannot have that. And so the idea of restricting abortion or having some exceptions, we just know that they are not real. I mean, if Kate Cox can't get an abortion, then no one can. Mm-hmm. And that is the vision that today's Republican politicians have for this whole country. They want to do that in Wisconsin and they want to do it nationally. And, you know, this is such a personal issue because it does deal with these very intimate aspects of our lives. It's our sexuality. It's our ability to have children and make a family. It's our, you know, our relationships. And for some people, it's their faith, right? Mm-hmm. And so the idea that government should involve itself and make it harder for people in an already challenging circumstance, nobody wants to get an abortion as their first line. You know, everybody who's getting an abortion, it's because something else went wrong mm-hmm. in their life, right? Their contraception failed. They were assaulted. They had a desperately wanted pregnancy and something went terribly wrong, right? Or they're having a miscarriage mm-hmm. and they need help to complete it because so that they don't go into septic shock.
And see, that's the point that I think is so important. We're talking to State Senator Kelda Royce from the 26th District here in Wisconsin. I have friends, I know people who, based on their faith, they simply disagree with abortion. They feel that's wrong.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily agree with that, but I'll respect that. But here's the thing that mm-hmm. I ask people to also respect and think about. Regardless of your personal views on abortion, we all have a woman in our lives, whether it's a partner, whether it is a niece, or whether it is a friend. And God forbid that that individual would ever be assaulted and become pregnant against her will or have their life in danger. I love those people in my life. I don't ever want to have them in a position where they can't make a choice that's right for them and their body based on their own faith and partners and people in their life. And most importantly, what's right for them.
That's right. And I think having Roe v. Wade be swept away by, you know, some religious zealots in black robes has really underscored, first of all, how scary pregnancy can be and how at risk women are. You know, if you can become pregnant, you don't want to do it in the wrong state. You don't want to do it at the wrong time. Mm. And you have no idea how you can protect yourself during pregnancy or from violent men. But even more basic than that, you know, I totally understand and respect why people might be personally opposed to abortion. Mm-hmm. But we live in a free country. And individuals cannot be free if we are not free to make our own decisions, including decisions that other people find abhorrent or mm-hmm. reprehensible. Mm-hmm. There are plenty of people who think that it's wrong to be gay. Mm-hmm. I certainly don't agree with that. But you know what? People are free to be bigots in a free country, and people are free to be sinners in a free country. And we have to live together. We have to recapture that sense of pluralism if we want to have a free America.
You bring up this as a great issue. You know, freedom. We all want freedom over our own lives and to live in the happiness that we desire. And as a former member of the Republican Party, it was preached for years, right? Individual responsibility and personal freedom and choice. Less mm-hmm. decisions made in Madison and D.C. and more back home. And I fundamentally still agree with that. And the irony is that it's now the Democratic Party who is standing up for those individual freedoms across all of our lives.
Absolutely. I think, you know, what's very interesting is for decades, we've been told, oh, abortion, it's so controversial. You know, we shouldn't talk about abortion. We shouldn't campaign on it. Mm-hmm. People feel, you know, very, very hesitant about abortion. And what we have found in the wake of Dobbs is that that's just not true. Mm-hmm. Overwhelmingly, Wisconsinites and Americans of every, you know, class, geography, political persuasion, religious view, race, you know, class, across all of those things, people are pro-choice because they want reproductive freedom. They don't want government and politicians involved. That's really what it comes down to. Right. Not how you personally feel about abortion, but do you want that politician getting in there? No.
I agree with that. We're going to continue talking with Senator Kelda Royce on the other side here, and we're going to look at this case in Dane County in terms of the Wisconsin law and what may happen moving forward in 2024. Also look at the political side of this. What does this mean for politics and campaigns moving into 2024 as well? First, quickly off the text line from WMDX here in Madison, quote, the whole thing is wrong. It's my body, not an old man that rules it, unquote. And also from WMDX here in Madison, I got assaulted and raped, then rocks thrown at me in 1992. Abortion was legal in Pensacola, Florida. Wow. Certainly my heart goes out to that individual, but thank goodness that there was a legal abortion alternative there for that individual. I think that's what it means, you know, sticking up for individual rights and freedoms. More with Senator Royce on the other side. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Allbowl Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Allbowl Show.
Even Republican women, when they walk into that booth, that reversal of RVW is going to walk in with them, because that cuts to the very essence of what a woman is and what she can be and what she can decide. To speak in Wisconsin terminology, the reversal of Roe v. Wade is the right bower for Democrats. That's a Euchre reference.
That is spot on. You nailed it, John Roach, once again.
The Todd Allbowl Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Welcome back to the Civic Media's Todd Allbowl Show. I am Todd, along with Aaron Zommers. Thank you, Mr. Zommers, for finding that cut quickly. We are joined now at 9 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock with State Senator Kelda Royce of the 26th District in Wisconsin, most of the city of Madison, including the state capitol and UW-Madison as well. Senator Royce, I wanted to play that because our friend John Roach, who makes a monthly appearance, a columnist here in Madison Magazine and other places as well, when he was on the show last month and he brought this up, I thought that was a great way to describe this in Wisconsin terms, that the abortion and the abortion issue is the right bower of Wisconsin politics moving into 2024. What do you think of that?
I think it's absolutely right. When abortion is in jeopardy and abortion rights are not secure, it is very hard for women to think of other things. And, right. You know, it is an economic issue, but it's a fundamental issue of our humanity. And at the end of the day, it is something that is very much still under threat. Mm-hmm. We know that both federally with whichever Republican runs against Tammy Baldwin, with Donald Trump, you know, he's the reason that Roe v. Wade was overturned, and he will pursue a federal abortion ban. Mm-hmm. So we've got to do that at the federal level. And at the state level, we know state politicians have enormous power, and the Republican Party today, if they had their way with Robin Voss and Devin LeMahieu, they would have a Wisconsin full abortion ban. They have said that, and they've voted that way again and again. So this is something that is going to absolutely drive the 2024 election.
As an attorney, Senator Royce, and also a legislator, I'd like to have you break down a couple of things in the time we have left. First of all, in the state of Wisconsin, explain where this Dane County case is going and how that may work its way through the state Supreme Court and what the ramifications of that particular case are.
Sure. So this is the case that Attorney General Josh Call filed just 4 days after the Dobbs decision came down, and it challenged the 1849 statute that appeared to ban all abortion. The Dane County judge actually sided with the plaintiffs in that case, with a group of physicians and the attorney general, saying that it actually does not ban abortion. It refers to feticide. So if someone assaulted a woman and the pregnancy ended, not intentional abortion. And so that case will very likely be appealed by the anti-choice district attorney that is kind of on the other side of the case, and it will likely end up before the state Supreme Court. Bear in mind, though, that even with abortion services able to be resumed in Wisconsin, it is still heavily restricted, right? There are all kinds of mandatory delay, biased counseling, mandatory parental involvement laws, restrictions on, you know, insurance coverage and the ability to afford abortion care. So it's not easy, and it never has been easy to get abortion care in Wisconsin. And so we still have a long way to go, even if the Supreme Court does uphold this judgment.
Talking about the U.S. Supreme Court, recently, now there's a high-stakes legal battle, the Biden administration defending federal approval of the so-called abortion pill, mifepristone, and including a recent move to make it available by mail. Kind of explain to folks, cut through the legal jargon, what does this mean to women, and where do you think this is going to go in 2024?
Sure. Well, first of all, about half of all the abortions performed in this country are done via medication abortion. Mifepristone is one of two medications that is commonly used for medication abortion. For many people, they make an appointment, they go into a clinic, and then they receive the medication there. But now the United States is joining many other third world countries where abortion is banned, where people are mailing pills. And in many states, it is legal to do telemedicine, to get a prescription over the phone or video chatting with a doctor, and it will be shipped to you within a few days. And so Wisconsinites and anyone who needs abortion anywhere in the world should be able to go to aidaccess.org and order one. You can even get it before you need it. So you can have it in your medicine cabinet and know that you will be protected regardless of what happens with politicians and judges. And what's at stake in this Supreme Court case is whether or not medication abortion will still be able to be accessed via telemedicine and without a bunch of additional political restrictions on it. Safety-wise, it should be available over the counter. There's no question. It's safer than Tylenol, way safer than Viagra. But so far politically, that we haven't been able to get that done.
About 3 minutes left, 2.5, but 3 minutes left. It always goes too fast. Senator Keller Royce from the 26th District. Is there anything, Senator, that I haven't asked you yet that you want to make sure to share with our listening audience today?
Certainly, I think abortion is going to continue to be top of mind, both because the state and federal elections are necessary for to elect Democrats if we want to protect abortion rights. But I think it's also important to understand that reproductive freedom is about far more than just the right to get an abortion safely when and if you need one. Mm-hmm. It's also about the ability to build your family how you want. So access to contraception. It's about making sure that young people are empowered with accurate information and sex education that doesn't lie to them. It's making sure that we are able to have infertility treatment that doesn't bankrupt you, so that if you need help to build a family, you can get that help. And it's about making sure that we're supporting people who are parenting through paid family leave so that you can do that early work of bonding with your new baby, and making sure that we have great childcare and public education so that people feel comfortable bringing kids into this world. We have a lot of work to do on all these fronts, and they're all connected. And I feel really honored to be able to be in the state capitol and be a voice and a champion on these issues.
Well, we appreciate you, Senator Royce. And that's always the irony, right? Again, as a former Republican, you know, the line was pro-life, pro-life. But what happens when the child is born? It seems like too often that my former party doesn't want to fund childcare. I mean, that's another issue we don't have time to get into. But I mean, right, childcare is just unaffordable for young families who do choose to have their children.
It is. I mean, you know, having kids is one of the great joys of my life. And it just breaks my heart that people don't get to have the children that they want or the number of children that they want because they can't afford childcare. Right. There's something deeply wrong with a society that doesn't value people and children and families enough to provide that fundamental support.
Well, Senator Royce, we value you and your time today. We thank you for it. And we'll end with this off the text line from WMDX here in Madison. Quote, Senator Royce, thanks for sharing, unquote. We appreciate the listener. We appreciate you. Senator Royce, happy holidays to you and your family. Thanks so much, and come back soon.
To you and yours, Todd. Thanks.
Thank you so much. State Senator Kelda Royce from the 26th Dennis District in Wisconsin. We appreciate her time. Appreciate you for listening. Stay tuned. Hour 2 is straight ahead on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.